Heavenly Father, this morning as we have worshiped you through music and through message, through prayer even, I pray that you will speak to our hearts, challenge us, maybe just open our eyes to how impressive that you really are. But guide our thoughts now in Jesus' name, amen. Just about 5 years ago, COVID-19 decided to peek its pesky head up across the globe and became wrapping itself around planet Earth. And you remember it just like I remember it when COVID-19 hit U.S. soil, everyone in America began to panic. Maybe you didn't panic. I did a little panicking myself and trying to figure out what we would do. And everyone began to seclude and recluse themselves into their homes. I remember standing on my front porch and shouting across the street to my neighbors across the porch and checking on them. Are you doing okay over there? Yeah, we're good. Are you all right? Yeah. You probably did some similar things. And I remember getting the phone calls and the emails from Georgia Cumberland Conference saying, hey, all in-person worship services need to be moved to virtual worship services. And so leadership challenges were out of this world because you couldn't please everyone and you couldn't win. And so you and your team had to figure out, well, what's the best thing that we think is right for our community? And so Pastor Luke Steen was the associate pastor and our office manager and our principal were there. And we thought through how can we best keep community with our church but still be virtual. And we thought through different ways and we ended up just like every other church with a virtual worship service. But to be honest, it was my favorite Sabbaths of all time because there was nothing I had to do on Sabbath. It was a true day of rest because we would worship on Facebook with a watch party from the entire church at the exact same moment. We would watch our pre-recorded worship service and we would message each other back and forth. Happy Sabbath, church! And we would respond to different questions. And it's right in the middle of this virtual time that the associate pastor decided to take a call to another church. And so now it was just three leaders on this campus and trying to figure out what to do. And a few weeks later, I got a phone call from the conference office, Georgia Cumberland, and they said, hey, Matt, we've got a guy that we think would do really, really well at Marietta. What do you think about working with him? And I said, well, I don't know him that well, but I'm game to work with anybody. Who is it? And they said, his name is Alex Candelaria. And I thought, oh, I've heard this name before. I've seen this guy at minister's meeting. I don't think I've ever really talked to him. But sure enough, Alex Candelaria. And a week later, I was in another virtual meeting on Zoom, and they asked me, some of the guys from the conference, said, hey, so do you know who's replacing Luke? And I said, yeah, Alex Candelaria. And I'll never forget the young adult leader's director for the conference, his response. He said, you got Alex? Dude, you just scored. And he knew something that I didn't know. But what he knew is that Alex is an incredible man. In fact, when we here on this campus were trying to find a middle school pastor less than a year ago, we were thinking of the traits and the attributes that would fit really well with our team and how we could succeed even more here at Forest Lake. And we found out that Alex could be an option. This is how I described him and still describe him this way. When you're around Alex or when Alex is around you, everything gets better because of him. And it's so true. The dude is so talented. He can do anything. It's like God took all the good stuff and stuffed it into one person. It's not fair. It's not fair, Alex. You know, if you have something creative that you need to do, he's your man. He can figure it out. He can find the most efficient and most cost-effective way to do it. I mean, just this last week, we were working on a project about something that should show up on the back of the pews here in the next, I don't know, handful of months. Now we're committed, Alex. We got to make it happen. And Alex was thinking, what about this way? Have you looked at this? He sends me links all the time in text messages. Hey, check this one out. How about this? He's always making creative things better or techie things. If you need help tech-wise, digital, computer, sound stuff, he's your man. Dude, you're going to get so many emails and text messages. Can you come set up my printer at home? Or worship. If you need someone to sing or play guitar or piano, he's your guy. He's just so talented. It's like God just took all the good stuff and put it into him. You know, when I was in Marietta, before Alex showed up, the church had a youth room that was an afterthought at best. It was like an attic space tucked up behind the sanctuary. You could put 10 people in there. And the only way to get there was for the students to walk outside in the rain, snow, on the grass, out. You'd have to squeeze beside bushes and duck under a concrete stairwell to climb up to the attic space youth department. Now, that's warm and welcoming, isn't it? The future of our church, let's stuff them up there. And the church had said, this is not good enough. We got to do something better. And so we decided to renovate a side room of the gym to make it a dedicated youth space. And the project came to a standstill. It just, sometimes you've seen projects and they're moving along and then they just stop. And it was right about the time that it stopped that Pastor Alex comes on the scene at Marietta. Well, there's nothing in Alex's life that is a standstill. It's always forward momentum, forward movement. And even though he knew nothing about construction and nothing about drywall and sheetrock, he dove in full force. I mean, this dude was, he was taping and mudding and sanding. In fact, I have a picture. Jeremy, this is on you, bud. A picture of it. Here it is. Look at this right here. This is the new youth room. Look at his sheetrock work. Not too bad, right? Apparently it's pretty bad, Alex. I mean, he didn't even know what he was doing. You know, you can see all the dust on the floor. I wish I had a picture of this because I remember Alex just absolutely covered in dust. His beard was so white, he was like Santa Claus. But he dove headfirst into this project because he wants to do whatever it takes to help young people know Jesus. You know, it's obvious to me that God created Alex as someone that would be a soul winner for the kingdom of heaven. Not a doubt in my mind. And every time that you see any one of Alex's wonderful, exceptional successes, what you're really seeing is God on display through him. You know, God oftentimes uses people and circumstances and experiences to show his glory and his power. It's like you get an insight to see the powerful God of the universe in people and different situations. There's an incredible story in the Bible that I was just reminded of just a few weeks ago. It's in the book of John. In fact, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to John chapter 9, where you can follow along and read the same words that I'm reading. If you didn't bring a Bible, that's okay. There's a blue one in front of you, and you can open to page 758. You'll read the same words that I'm reading. And it's a story about Jesus' interaction with someone. And at this time, Jesus is ministering, he's teaching, he's preaching, and there's quite a gathering of followers behind him. And there's a gathering of skepticism, too, from the religious leaders as they think, who is this Jesus fellow? Who is this guy? Is he for us? Is he against us? Is he adding to what we're doing, or is he pulling away from it? And in the midst of this questioning of who Jesus is, this story is recorded with John as he writes these words. John chapter 9, starting in verse 1, if you're there, say amen. Amen. That's a strong church right there. All right, here's what my Bible says. John chapter 9, verse 1. As Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? You see, the Jewish understanding of sickness or ailments or handicaps or problems, physical issues with someone, is that they received this as a punishment for previous sins. In fact, you could look at the Old Testament stories, that you could look back and you could say, oh, the story of Samson. Well, Samson, he followed his eyes to a beautiful woman in the Philistine woman named Delilah, and because he followed his eyes to her, at the end of his life, his eyes were gouged out. Or another Old Testament story of Absalom, who gloried in his beautiful long hair, and I'm so jealous of this guy. But the end of his life, he dies hanging from his beautiful hair. And so they look at people with ailments and hurts and handicaps, and they say, he must have done something to deserve that. He must have earned that because of his sins, but this guy has been blind from birth. And so the disciples ask Jesus, they're kind of confused, and they say, Jesus, who sinned? Did he somehow sin before he even came out of the womb, born blind? Or was it his parents that had sinned? And Jesus gives this response that I believe can answer a lot of questions that you may even have in your life, as well as see the power of God. Here's what he says, John chapter 9, verse 3, it says this. Jesus says, neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God may be displayed in him. Jesus' response to me instantly squashes any idea that you may be having that God gives people hurts and pains and issues. That's not the God that I know. It's not the God of the Bible either. What Jesus is doing, he's putting an exclamation point on the fact that every situation and every experience is truly an opportunity for God to show his glory and power. Because he will take things that are busted and he'll make them beautiful. He'll take ordinary humans and he'll make them extraordinary humans. He'll use tough circumstances and he'll use them to bring honor and glory to him. You know, our church has one single member in the country of Scotland. You know the story because I've shared it so often. Here's a picture of this incredible family. This is Nat Pennell and her husband, Grant. And then down below is Abby in the sunflower dresses and the hat. And there's Aaron in the middle with the earmuffs on. They're such an awesome family. In fact, if you didn't know the story, she was a life coach that somehow I connected with that our life coach sessions turned into Bible studies, and Bible studies turned in her desire to be baptized. And so last May, Jen and I, we went to Scotland and we baptized her. This is the day of her baptism, actually. And what's amazing about this family is that they love each other and they all have one common challenge. And it's Erin with those earmuffs on. She has autism. She's autistic, nonverbal. Now, I've talked with her, and she can share a few words here and there, but it's not complete sentences. It's almost like her thoughts and her words are trapped inside her. She will listen to songs over and over again, weeks at a time, and her mom, Nat, will listen to those same songs and try to decipher what she's trying to tell her mom through the songs, the lyrics, and the choruses. There's challenges that they face. In fact, just this last year, Aaron's class took their class picture, and the photographers in the school gave an option to the other parents of the students to have a picture with the handicapped girl or without the handicapped girl. There's always this pain and tension and frustration and drama and hurt that they have to deal with. Over and over again, there's financial burden. There's community burdens. There's just family stuff that they have to deal with all the time. And here's what I realize. Those challenges are not just for that family. That each person in here, each family represented here has challenges too, whether it's physical handicap, whether it's marriage frustration, whether it's kid drama or parent issues or health concerns, every single one of us has an issue or a challenge that we face every day. And I just wonder, are those simply opportunities for God to show us a glimpse of his glory? Because that's exactly what happens in this story in the Bible. John chapter 9, verse 6, the story continues. It says this, after saying this, Jesus, he spit on the ground and he made some mud with the saliva and he put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, and wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and he came home seeing. Man, I wish I could have been there. I mean, Jesus has so many miracles. There's four books that in the Bible that tell you about these miracles. They're incredible. But this one's different. I mean, he could have just said the words and he would have seen. Or he could have just touched his shoulder and he would have seen. But Jesus does something completely different, which is kind of gross. And he spits in the dirt and he makes mud, a mud patty. And he squashes it into this guy's eyes. It's like he takes a part of him and he gives it to this man, a transfer of power from the powerful to the powerless that changes his life forever. See, Jesus takes someone with a problem and he turns it into perfection. He takes someone that is perfect except, and he makes someone that is exceptional. He takes someone that's average and he makes him amazing. And I believe anytime you see someone that is exceptional or fantastic or amazing or just remarkable, that what you're really seeing is God's power on display in that person's life. It's his power at work within a human being to bring him glory and honor. You know, it doesn't happen that often, but you know it when you know it. When you meet someone that is so extraordinary, that's so incredible, that's fantastic, that you really are seeing a glimpse of God's power. I mean, he's generous with his power, and he uses other people to glorify him. And I believe that Pastor Alex was made exceptional for one purpose, and that was to show a display of who God is through his own life. Pastor Alex is built different, guys. And I think he's built different for one reason, and that's to glorify God through his life and ministry. Alex, when I think of you, I oftentimes think of John the Baptist. And I realize this is the third time you've heard this morning, so thanks for paying attention. You're not weird. You don't wear camel skin. You don't eat locusts and honey, and I'm really glad because you probably would smell bad. But John the Baptist understood his calling and his purpose, and it was to prepare people to meet Jesus. And at the end of John's life, Jesus says these words about him, and I think he says them about Alex too. He says, "Among those born of a woman, there's no one greater than John." And while he's got a different name than you, Alex, I believe God's created you to be an exceptional pastor and father and leader, and you are. But with being exceptional comes with great responsibility, and you can see this in John the Baptist's life too, because it's during this point in his ministry and his leadership that he has a big following, and Jesus has a following that's growing too. John's got disciples, Jesus has disciples. They're both growing in power and following. And there's this competition, there's drama in the Holy Lands. And John's disciples come to him and they say, "John, you gotta step up your game, bro. If you're gonna beat Jesus, you gotta go." In fact, Ellen White tells us that John had everything in place, and all he would have to do is say the words that he was the Messiah, and the people would have crowned him as king. They're at this place where John has to make a decision if he will exist for himself and lift himself up, or if he will lift up Jesus. Everything was ready: power, prestige, money, everything. And all he had to do was say the words. And these are the words and the response of John the Baptist. It's in John chapter 3, verse 30. And here's what it says on the screen. John says that he must become more and I must become less. Or as you guys know this like I do, he says Jesus must increase and I must decrease. And while John's response is really a calling to each and every single one of us as a disciple, I think this applies to you, Pastor Alex, the most. And I love that you already understand it. You understand that everything, every sermon that you preach, every baptism that you're a part of, every Bible study, every middle school meeting that goes well, just the ones that go well, every worship set that you sing, every accolade that you have, every affirmation, everything that you do is all and only to put God on display in your life. It's the only reason why he's talented you and gifted you so much. It's the only reason why you have this unique calling to make disciples. It's only to lift Jesus up. I love you, man, and I'm proud of you. And my prayer for you, Alex and Melanie and my buddy Levi, is that God pours out more and more blessings on you and your family. And I can't wait to watch as God uses you to bring others to him.